Well, good morning and welcome back, everybody, to Corinth in Your Car. It's been, I guess, 2 weeks. We had a week off last week with Thanksgiving holidays. I hope everyone had a great time. I know we had family in from my wife's side in Kansas. Luke traveled with Tristan to Texas, and Adam was here with family. But we took the week off to be with said family. And I am here today by myself because Adam is on a quick trip. Luke got a quick sickness, hoping to be back tomorrow, but we wanted to get something to you today. Today is December 4th. As you listen, Monday, December 4th is when this is released. And so today, if you didn't know, is Santa's List Day, December 4th, on National Calendar, nationaldaycalendar.com. So make sure you get those lists in. It's also International Cheetah Day. That happens to be my favorite animal. If you ever ask me, it always has been from growing up. I think because cheetahs could always be just run so fast. Couple other fun ones. It's National Sock Day. Wear those socks. Keep warm. National Dice Day. Play some Yahtzee. Ooh, here's a good one. National Cookie Day, December 4th. Eat some cookies. All right. So lots of fun on December 4th. But we have another episode of Corinth in Your Car, and I'm not going to be here the full hour like we normally are. That would be boring, and you don't want to hear from me that long. We will look forward to next week when we're back together. But yesterday at Corinth, we did start a brand new series, Christmas Wish List, and basically we're just looking at the Christmas season. And often, you know, we do make wish lists, whether it's on Amazon or you write it down or you get a catalog in the mail or whatever it may be. And we talked about the things that we tend to want around Christmas time and how when we really look at what we want, it might not be exactly what we need. And that got me thinking, just Christmas presents through the years. Any of you remember this? 1950s, it was Mr. Potato Head. Anybody got a Mr. Potato Head floating around? I don't know. The breakout year was 1952. 1 million units were sold that year. Also, the hula hoops were the 1950s. Breakout year 1958, 25 million in the first 4 months were sold. So quite a bit there. 1960s, the Etch-a-Sketch made its appearance. 600,000 of them were sold that year. We actually have 3 Etch-a-Sketches. Our kids love them, so they're still around. 1960s had the Easy Bake Oven. Anybody have one of those? 1963, 500,000 were sold. 1970s, the Nerf football came out. Breakout year 1972. Listen, 8 million were sold by 1979. My son just got 3 Nerf. There was a basketball, a soccer ball, and a football. So Nerf is still doing well. The 70s, some popular toys were the Star Wars action figures. Breakout year 1978, 40 million were sold. So as you can see, Christmas through the years, more and more millions each year is being spent, and more products are being bought at Christmas. In 1980s, anybody have these? The Rubik's Cube? Anybody Rubik's Cube? How fast can you solve it? Breakout year 1981. All right. Between 1980 and 1983, 100 million Rubik's Cubes were sold. 1980s, the Cabbage Patch Kids, all right? I think there's some Georgia history with Cabbage Patch dolls. I think somebody can correct me or affirm me on that. Anyway, 1983, 3 million of them were sold. 1990s, this is kind of weird, Tickle Me Elmo. I never had one, but 1996, 1.2 million were sold. Beanie Babies, those were big, 100 million. 100 million were sold in 1997. They were also in McDonald's Happy Meals, so that certainly helped. The 2000s, we saw things like the Razor scooter get popular, 5 million of them in 2000. Also, the Wii debuted in late 2006, and then 2007, 6.2 million. All right, 2010s, Minecraft got big, 15 million of those games were sold. 2010, All Things Frozen. This is an article from CNN, just listing some popular presents through the years. In 2014 was the breakout year. After 2013, the film's release, $531 million was spent just that year on Frozen merchandise. So Christmas and our wish lists, it's a lot, and we want a lot, and we think we want a lot. Just yesterday, I asked the eighth grade CLC class that I teach what they or their peers would want. And so these are from eighth graders, things like shoes, clothes, and money to buy whatever they want, kind of top the list. What about you? I don't know what tops your wish list this year. But where we started yesterday talking about our Christmas list, wish list, is it's just that God, he knows not only what we want, but actually truly what we need. And what we need, where we started yesterday, was this idea of abundant life in Christ. It sounds, you know, kind of obvious at church that we would say that, but that is truly what we need. And where we went was John chapter 10, not a traditional Christmas story, although there were shepherds in the Christmas story. John 10 is about Jesus, the good shepherd, the perfect shepherd, laying his life down for the sheep, laying in the gate of the sheep pen. So the literal door, so if thieves or robbers tried to come in, they have to go past the shepherd. And Jesus is the image of the perfect shepherd. So Adam went there on Sunday and talked about Jesus, our perfect shepherd. A few things from that passage. Jesus says, anyone who doesn't enter the sheep by the pen, or enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. He doesn't know the sheep, but the sheep know the voice of the shepherd. Later in that passage, down at verse 9 and 10 of John 10, he just says, hey, the thief, that's Satan, wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they, my sheep, that's you and me, would have life and have it to the full. And so here we are, Christmas season. We often think our wish lists are going to be the things that make us happy. I know when I was growing up, thinking about just things that I wanted, I went through years where I wanted certain CDs. I remember middle school or so, maybe even earlier, I thought I was big stuff because I had enough money, and it was a lot back then, relative to now, to buy a portable CD player. thought I was really cool, had one of those, had some CDs, had the whole CD carrying case, you know, the sleeve you can put all the CDs in. And I thought it was awesome. And I thought it was going to solve so many of my wishes and desires. And it did for a while. But then, like anything, it fades. I remember one year, one of my favorite Christmas presents was actually a Nintendo 64. And it wasn't just a present, it was a scavenger hunt. So I opened the box, and there were just clues, several different clues around the house. And then eventually I found the Nintendo 64 in the attic. And man, I remember playing so much of World Cup 98. That's about the year I had it, you know, we're looking at 25 years ago, something like that. World Cup 98, it was a soccer game. I was a soccer player, and just a lot of fun. But as you know now, if you're in the video game world, Nintendo 64 is only something you do if you go up to the arcade, flashback, and play the old systems. It's out of date. It doesn't last. And we know all these things, and yet so often we buy into, I guess the lie is really what it is, that something will make us happy. And ultimately, it just won't. And so what we talked about yesterday, starting this discussion, was Jesus wants to give us not just what we want, but really more than that. He wants to give us what we need. And so John 10, Jesus wants to give us that life, the eternal life, that we really, really need, which is a connection to him. And so where we went with application yesterday was just three phrases. And Adam challenged us with this. What are we going to do to stay connected to the life that we need and not just what we want? Well, number one, we are going to give thanks. That is something we talk about pretty frequently on the podcast. I know some people joke about having the bingo square. And if you did have a bingo square here on Corinth in Your Car podcast, one of them would be the phrase grateful, specifically grateful for. We talk about consistently, close to every day, having things that you're grateful for, and choosing four of them. And so they could be big things like salvation, small things like this cup of coffee that I'm holding right now, because Thursday, as I record this, it is still a bit chilly outside. We have some rain coming up this weekend. And so in a rainy, kind of cold weather, I'm grateful for coffee. But there's all kinds of ways we can give thanks. The book of Philippians, chapter 4, would say it this way. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. So that is just a great rhythm to have in life, to always be, to be grateful, to be thanking God for what he's done. Proverbs would say it this way, if you look for good, you will find it. So make a habit of looking for good, of praising God for who he is and for what he has done. I remember growing up, my dad, one of the things he taught me was that God really, he has things you can praise him for what he has done. And generally us men like to be praised for what we do, when we did a good job or whatever we built or that we were funny or something like that. Women tend to be, and you can correct me, I guess, women, if I'm wrong on this, but generally like to be praised for who they are. You are beautiful. You are caring, things like that. And God is neither male nor female. He is spirit. And all of us are created in the image of God. So if we praise him and give thanks for who he is and for what he has done, we're praising all of who God is. And so just thinking out loud right now, some other creative ways that as you yourself, or as you lead your family, could be grateful. Maybe it's turning off the radio on the way in to work and just spending 5 minutes of listing things you're grateful for. Maybe just being quiet and the things that you hear. Maybe that jogs your memory. So maybe you're driving down the road and you can even be thankful for the noise of the road because you remember there are vehicles that get you from A to B and it gets you there safely and fast, on time, things like that. Maybe you're grateful for the airplanes because like me, the only way I see my Arizona family is hopping on an airplane and it's a long plane ride, 4 hours, but it's shorter than 30 hours of driving in the car. And so even just things like that, you can be grateful. I know one of our rhythms as a family is to sit our kids down every night and we do a little family prayer. And generally, this is how it goes. We have one person start and we go around the room and one person at a time says one or more things that they are grateful for. So, dear God, thank you for. And very often it's thank you for the dog. Thank you for my friends. Thank you for ballet. Thank you for the food we ate today. Things like that. And then we go around again and say, dear God, please help. And we ask God to help people or situations, family members, friends, Israel, things like that. Our kids get to do that every single day. And it's a joy listening to children be grateful. And I think it's important to start with gratitude and praise before we start asking. So we're going to give thanks. Step two, we're going to draw near. Once again, Philippians 4 says, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Once again, tell God what you need. The Lord is coming soon. So we're going to give thanks. We're going to draw near. James would say, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And so God is there. It's more of a question of where are we putting ourselves. And I'm not saying anything that you don't know, but we live in quite a distracting world, don't we? We live in a world that It's loud. It's constant. There's notifications. And if we're not careful, we can become slave to our devices and the notifications and the storylines and all that sort of stuff. And so it's way too easy to wake up first thing in the morning and read a headline or to check our notifications. And we get sucked into, even if it's positive stuff, maybe it's things we wanted to hear, but it's not God. We get distracted. I know that's probably for me. Distraction is way too easy to get me away from God. A famous line, I'm not sure who said it originally, but a famous line would go like this: if the devil can't make you bad, he will make you busy. And so just to distract you is part of Satan's scheme. So we want to draw near. How do we do that? One specific challenge would be to experience God in scripture and prayer first thing every day. Adam has said before, we've said before, you always have time for what you do first. So maybe you're not a morning person, and maybe that's never going to happen for you. I want to challenge you on that and say maybe with God's help, maybe you could be more of one, maybe not an hour in the morning, but at least experience scripture first. But maybe you need to redefine what first is. And so maybe it's first thing on your way home or first thing after the kids are in bed. And it's kind of non-negotiable. This is going to be first. We're going to draw near to God. Just this morning, I read Psalm 62, and I'm going to read a few verses of it here for us today. It says, "For God alone, my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress." And then listen, "I shall not be greatly shaken." God alone, my soul waits in silence. So the writer there, it's David. He's just saying, hey, all these other things on my plate, they could tempt to make me happy or distract me because maybe it's a political thing as a king I have to deal with. But no, what is my rock? It's God alone. And because I have him, I will not be greatly shaken. The third action step Adam gave us yesterday just said this: fix your thoughts. John Mark Comer would say it this way: curate your mind stream. Think about what you think about. Win the war in your mind. All that stuff. Our thoughts really do matter. What we think about matters. And so learning to think about what we think about is a big deal. We want to do good with that. And so three great just action steps to make us focus on the eternal life in Jesus that we have. And man, in the midst of a busy, distracting Christmas season that really is all about Jesus, we know that, but can become about so many other things. It's important that we give thanks, that we draw near, and that we fix our thoughts. The bottom line yesterday was Jesus knows where to lead you, because he alone knows where you're going. I love that. One story Adam told in the sermon was about a shepherd who had a little flute and started playing the flute, and the sheep came to him because they knew the sound of the flute. They know the sound of the shepherd's voice. And so that's just a challenge in this loud season. Let's really do make it all about the shepherd. Let's lean in to him and listen well for his voice, because it is distracting. There is a lot of things going on. So all that being said, man, we hope you have just an incredible week. We hope in the midst of the busy and the crazy, you alone or you and your family find ways to connect with each other, and more importantly, to connect with God. Brief commercial before we go. I want to remind you all, yesterday we gave out Christmas Eve invite cards, and those are available all around the building. There are some in the church office if you need to stop by and pick up some more as well, stuff like that. Just think of creative ways, creative ways to invite family, friends, coworkers, neighbors, stick them on a plate of cookies, give them to some coworkers at work. Look for those opportunities of maybe somebody is looking for a church, or they've experienced something hard, or there's a change that's happened in their life recently. Maybe this is a chance for you to talk to your one, someone that you see consistently, and just say, "Hey, man, I don't know if you have Christmas Eve plans. I know a lot of people do, but if you don't, man, I'd love to have you come to our church. It's always a great time. It's a candlelight service." And just as a reminder, we have our normal Sunday morning times. Christmas Eve is a Sunday this year, less than three weeks by the time you listen to this. But also Saturday evening at 5 p.m. will also be a service in the auditorium. All of them are candlelight services. So we hope not only to see you there, but to have you invite family and friends and make it a big time. Also, speaking of a Christmas wish list, since we are in that series, we do have resources in our resource room that will help you perhaps give a good gift to a family member or a friend. There's Bibles and books in there. There's Advent devotionals. So Advent just being the season of the church that reminds us of Jesus's coming into this world, his Advent. There's great resources if you're leading a family as well. And individuals. But anyway, lots of good resources in there. Check that out. It's as you exit the auditorium, just the room to the left. Just take a left in there. Looks like a little bookstore. And you can get a cup of espresso while you're in there as well. That's always ready for you. As always, though, man, we're thankful that you jumped in today and thankful that we were back with you a little bit. Apologies, it was just me. So next week, we look to be back with Adam and Luke and myself, so I guarantee you the conversation will be more lively. There might be some more hot takes. There might be a game. There might be some more fun stuff and more check-ins, all that sort of stuff. But thank you for making us a listen every single week. We do hope that this is a blessing for you and an encouragement for you. You guys are doing great work as you are representing Jesus in your family, in your workplace, among your friends. So keep up the good work. Remember to focus on Jesus. Give thanks, draw near, and fix your thoughts. We hope to see you next week, December 10th at Corinth for part two of Christmas Wish List. We're going to be talking about the hope that we have in Jesus, specifically because of his return. And that's going to be a good one. So we hope to see you there next week. Until then, man, we love you, we like you, and we will see you very, very soon.